Fourth Sunday of Easter. Prayer. Psalm chapter 23. Yahweh is my shepherd. I lack nothing. In grassy meadows, He lets me lie. By tranquil streams, He leads me to restore my spirit. He guides me in paths of saving justice, as befits His name. Even were I to walk in a ravine as dark as death, I should fear no danger, for you are at my side. Your staff and your crook are there to soothe me. You prepare a table for me under the eyes of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup brims over. Kindness and faithful love pursue me every day of my life. I make my home in the house of Yahweh for all time to come. Reading the Word. First reading, Acts chapter 2. Peter stood up with the 11 and addressed them in a loud voice. Men of Judea, and all you who live in Jerusalem, make no mistake about this, but listen carefully to what I say. The whole house of Israel can be certain that the Lord and Christ, whom God has made, is this Jesus whom you crucified. Hearing this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, brothers?" "You must repent," Peter answered. "And every one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise that was made is for you and your children, and for all those who are far away, for all those whom the Lord our God is calling to Himself." He spoke to them for a long time, using many other arguments, and he urged them, "Save yourselves from this perverse generation." They accepted what he said and were baptized. That very day, about 3,000 were added to their number.
Second reading, 1 Peter chapter 2. What glory is there in putting up with a beating after you have done something wrong? The merit in the sight of God in putting up with it patiently when you are punished for doing your duty. This, in fact, is what you were called to do, because Christ suffered for you and left an example for you to follow in His steps. He had done nothing wrong and had spoken no deceit. He was insulted and did not retaliate with insult. When he was suffering, he made no threats, but put his trust in the upright judge. He was bearing our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to our sins and live for uprightness. Through his bruises you have been healed. You had gone astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. Gospel. John chapter 10. In all truth, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold through the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a bandit. He who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the flock. The gatekeeper lets him in. The sheep hear his voice. One by one, he calls his own sheep and leads them out. When he has brought out all those that are his, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus told them this parable, but they failed to understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus spoke to them again. "In all truth, I tell you, I am the gate of the sheepfold. all who have come before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep took no notice of them. I am the gate. Anyone who enters through me will be saved. Such a one will go in and out and will find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full.
Hearing the word, the gateway. Communication with the divine has been one of people's main preoccupations since the beginning of the human race. World religions propose and develop various and unique ways to communicate with God. The fourth Sunday of Easter makes us keenly aware that, for Christians, there is only one way and one channel through which we can have access to God, Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. He is our gateway to God and to God's eternal kingdom. The first reading continues the speech of Peter that we started to read last Sunday. While in the last Sunday passage, resurrection was emphasized, today's passage indicates the outcome of the resurrection for Jesus and for believers. The earthly work of Jesus culminated in the resurrection when God made Jesus Lord and Christ. These are two very important titles. The ordinary meaning of the word Lord indicates someone with authority. However, this word is also used by the Greek translation of the Old Testament to translation God's proper name, Yahweh, which the Israelites dared not to pronounce. Using this word, the author of Acts indicates that Jesus, thanks to his resurrection, assumed authority over the entire creation and became its Lord. The second title, Christ, is not Jesus' family name, as many wrongly assume. Christ is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one. By applying this title to Jesus, the author of Acts implies that Jesus was anointed by God and sent into the world to carry out the mission of salvation, the mission he successfully accomplished and concluded by dying and rising from the dead. The second part of this passage contains Peter's call to his fellow Jews and to all humanity to repent and be baptized. Repentance in the scripture means turning away from all misguided and erroneous ways of living and turning to Christ. It also means turning away from seeking God in any other way or in any other religion, but through Christ. Baptism refers to the rite of inclusion into the Christian community. Since Jesus, through his resurrection, manifested that he is both Lord and Christ, all humanity, the Jewish people and those who were far away, the non-Jews, are now called to turn to him and become members of the Christian community.
In the second reading, we continue to read from 1 Peter, where the author again emphasizes Christ's central role, giving believers access to God. The author begins by alluding to the sufferings that some endure because they are Christians. When someone suffers and is persecuted for doing good and following Jesus' ways, he or she resembles Christ. But this passage clearly focuses on Christ's sufferings. The author emphasizes that Christ went to the cross because of our sins. In Genesis chapter 3, we learn that the immediate and main consequence of the first sin was the breakdown of the relationship between God and humanity. Ever since then, humanity lived in isolation from God. Christ went to the cross to liberate us from our sins. This means that he removed the main obstacle that prevents us from having access to God. By the wounds that Jesus suffered, he has healed our hearts broken by sin so that we may return to God wholeheartedly. Doing so, Jesus became our leader and guardian. The well-known story of the Good Shepherd from John chapter 10 is the only parable in this gospel. In it, John the evangelist used the imagery of sheep, the shepherd, the sheepfold, and the gate to describe Jesus. The author applies these images to him for one single purpose: to indicate that Jesus is the true leader of God's people, the shepherd, and the only gateway to God and God's kingdom, the gate. Reading this story, we have to recall the prophetic denouncement of Israelite leaders in Ezekiel chapter 34. In this chapter, the prophet reflects on the tragic fate of the Israelites who suffered destruction and exile in 586 BC at the hands of Babylonians. The reasons for this tragedy lies in the selfish and abusive behavior of Israelite shepherds, its leaders. Ezekiel prophesied that God himself will intervene and will become the good shepherd who will provide for his people and secure their lives. Ezekiel chapter 34. John uses this parable of the good shepherd to show that this promise and prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus. For those who know his voice, those who have faith in him and follow his ways, he became the guardian and leader. He also opened the way to God and to the eternal life for his followers. In his resurrection, Jesus became the gateway to God and eternal life for his faithful.
At the time of Peter and John, in the initial days of Christianity, there was a great variety of religions which proposed ways of contacting God and offered various paths and means to salvation and immortality. However, for the early witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, there was absolutely no doubt that the path to God and to eternal life led through Jesus. The proclamation of the early church, the kerygma, focused entirely on Jesus' death and resurrection. On the cross, he abolished the lasting power of sin and threw open the path to God. In doing so, he fulfilled his mission as Christ. In the resurrection, he became the glorified Lord of all creation. Calling him Lord Jesus Christ, we make a profound profession of faith, acknowledging that through him, we now have access to God and membership among God's people. It is because of him, and only because of him, that we can confidently sing with the psalmist, "I make my home in the house of Yahweh for all time to come." We can dwell in the house of God forever because Christ is our gateway to that house. Listening to the Word of God. Today's readings invite us to look at Jesus as the unique and secure way that can lead us to God. In the contemporary African society, where suffering, poverty, famine, and other negative experiences have become a part of many people's lives, we need to question ourselves about the implications of our belonging to Christ. True faith always expresses itself through moral actions, visible in the lives of believers. In the sufferings of Jesus, the full meaning of his title, Christ, was revealed, showing him as the one who liberates from oppression and advocates for justice while making use of the weapons of non-violence. This carries a lot of significance for today's Christian youth on the African continent, where the scourge of violence, increasing corruption, tribalism, and hatred seem to take over. Each one of us ought to look at Jesus, the perfect model, who shows us the exceptional route to God. For us to be part of his sheepfold means listening solely to his voice. We must do so for two main reasons. Firstly, Jesus leads us to accurate knowledge of the triune God who is revealed through Jesus, his word. Second, we have to acknowledge that there are many other voices which are competing for our attention today. These other voices, which advertise the non-Christian and secular lifestyle, are stronger than ever before. Certainly, the one who does not pay heed to Jesus' voice will inevitably turn to idols which seek to replace God. They actively search for new followers and cry out with seductive voice, "Listen to me." Hence, it is important for all of us to see and notice those idols which try to distract us from listening to Jesus and which can cause us to deviate from following him. Those are surely the thieves mentioned in the gospel. These thieves are very active in the society, breaking into the lives of many in order to lead them astray from the truth. It is imperative for the followers of Jesus, especially the energetic young people, to cooperate with Jesus and stand against those adversaries of human life, which try to deceive us into believing that happiness can be achieved without God.
It is good to keep in mind that, as the second reading of today clearly states, the commitment for the sake of God's kingdom will result in persecution, as Jesus himself was persecuted. However, it is also helpful to bear in mind that those who win the victory, the Lord will give some of the hidden manna. In what concrete ways can the victory be won today? It involves, among others, standing against the scourge of violence by becoming artisans of peace, saying no to bribery, tribalism, corruption, promoting a culture of honesty, casting away all types of mediocrity and minimalistic approach in studies as well as professional work. With Jesus as the shepherd, the destination will surely be reached. The arrival will be safe, though the way may not be smooth. Some may even die on account of their faith. But the final victory is secure when we follow our shepherd and choose him as our gateway to the Father.
When you follow in the path of your Father, you learn to walk like him.
Action. Self-examination. Do my decisions in life stand in conformity with God's ways? Do I walk the path of Jesus, the Good Shepherd? Response to God. Lord, I need you more than ever. I pray for the many times I have gone astray from your path and ask for your guidance to walk in your ways always. Response to your world. What can I do to show others the path to God as taught by Jesus? How can my group act to reflect the Christian call to be Jesus' sheep?
Prayer. Bless me, Heavenly Father. Forgive my erring ways. Grant me strength to serve you. Put purpose in my days. Give me understanding, enough to make me kind, so I may judge all people with my heart, not only my mind. Teach me to be patient, in everything I do, content to trust your wisdom and to follow after you. Help me when I falter, hear me when I pray, and receive me in your kingdom to dwell with you forever. Amen.